gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Hey, it's Tuesday, April 30th, 2019, and welcome everybody. And we're in the process of trying to get Butch hooked up into the program. I don't think he's here yet. Living out there in West Virginia, and they don't have the internet connections. It's a little difficult to connect with him every now and then, but we'll patiently await his arrival. And in the meantime, we can go ahead and get started with the market report today. So, gold today. I told you it was going to be stronger today. Not much, but it is stronger, so we're going to take it. 1283.80 in the New York spot price aftermarket. We had a high of 1286. It opened strong, and again, not a lot of up and back, up and forth, up and back, up and down movement in gold, and this is a good sign. It's stabilizing. Silver today is up 4 pennies, back up over 15 by 3. Platinum was down 7 points at 891, and palladium was up another $16 at 1390. The USDX today was down big, 0.33 at 97.50. Crude oil was up 39 at 63.89. And I'll break right here before we go into the paper markets to see if Pastor Butch is connected.
I'm here. Just got on. Sorry about that. I'm still not getting this Skype deal working just right, so I'm on the regular phone, but I'm here.
Well, you sound good, so glad you're here, and let me go ahead and finish up the paper markets. They have the Dow up 36 points at 26,590. The NASDAQ was down 54 at 8107. The S&P was basically unchanged, up 3 points at 2945. 10-year yield 2.51%. And Asian European markets basically unchanged. And I think it's going to be we had the Fed meeting starting today. And, when I saw this headline, Butch, I just couldn't believe that I saw what I was reading. And I'm going to see if I can find the headline right here. I don't have it. But President Trump is calling on the Fed to cut rates by 1% and urges more quantitative easing.
Oh, my.
I just don't understand, and I know there's a lot of people out there that believe we can work ourselves out of our problem. We can't.
No, we can't.
It's that simple.
No, we're way beyond that now. Way beyond that.
He said this in a two-part tweet. He said China is adding great stimulus to its economy, while at the same time keeping interest rates low. Oh, they got their example from the United States. Hello, our Federal Reserve—they're not doing something new. The world is doing that. Our Federal Reserve has incessantly lifted interest rates, even though inflation is very low, and instituted a big dose of quantitative tightening. We have the potential to go up like a rocket if we did some lowering of rates, like 1 point. And hey, let's throw in some quantitative easing too. Yes, we're doing very well at 3.2% GDP. Hey, that was the first quarter of 2019. That's not the year. But our wonderfully low inflation. He doesn't do his shopping, ladies and gentlemen.
No, he does not.
We would be We could be setting major records and at the same time make our national... This is the clincher. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, because I know there's a lot of you out there that, but come on. Make our national debt start to look small. How does that work? How do you do quantitative easing? And we talked about yesterday about the Fed already considering quantitative easing by allowing banks to eliminate their treasuries to replace with reserves, which is kind of like quantitative easing. I mean, it's like, really? If our economy is that good in point, why would you want to do that? I mean, it doesn't even make sense.
Well, what's that mean for us, though, really? What does that boil down to?
Gold's going to go to 50,000 for sure.
All right.
So come on, baby. Quantitative easing as much as you can and keep this puppy going, because it means it's only going to be better for gold and silver. So, but you know what? A lot of people are going to get hurt. A lot of people are going to make decisions, make financial decisions, not just people individually, privately, but businesses. They're going to get deeper in debt. Multinational corporations, you lower that, you know, give them more free money, they're going to go deeper in debt, and that's what it's all about. They're doing everything to keep the system going.
So what they're doing basically is trying to borrow away to more prosperity, right?
Pelosi and Schumer came out of the meeting with Trump. We talked about this yesterday about infrastructure, and it's pretty much almost a go.
Yes.
Well, Trump agreed.
So what that we're going to do, what they're going to do is try to borrow our way to financial security
out of these problems. And I'll tell you what, if anybody else was doing this, well, the world would be falling apart.
That's amazing.
The world would be falling apart.
Well, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay.
It is amazing, Butch.
It is. Can you hear me?
If the president would have said these comments, they would have tanked. How insane it is, because there's no reaction from anything. It'll be too late for most.
Todd, you can't hear me.
And, you know, that's why he's trying to get this, who's this guy, this Stephen Moore? That's why he's trying to get him in there and into the Fed and try to ease a little more. I mean, it truly is amazing, Butch. It truly is. Are you still here? Or did we lose you? Well, I guess we lost Butch. I wondered why he wasn't chiming in there a little bit at all.
Melly, can you hear me at all?
And again...
Melly, can you hear me? I don't know if she can hear me or not, folks, and I don't mean to cut her off, but Todd's got to recall her. It's Skype, again, it's not acting right, and I do apologize for that. It's just the way it is. I have some questions I want to ask you about this quantitative easing, but I have an article here that she has mentioned that Trump and Pelosi agreed and Schumer agreed to spend $2 trillion more on infrastructure, and infrastructure does need work. There's no doubt about it. But folks, we're trillions and trillions, and I'm not 20-some trillion, we're close to $200 trillion in debt in the country. Where are they going to find those $2 trillion? Do any of us really comprehend the $1 trillion? I know I don't. $1,000 billion, my mind won't go there. But when you stop and think about this, they're going to spend $2 trillion more of monies that they don't have. They don't have it. We're the most indebted nation in the world, and we don't have it. They're producing out thin air. They're running the economy on thin air. No money. Digits on a computer. Worthless paper. And we really think this is going to continue under a curse of God, nothing else. It's cursed to God. It's totally insane and unsound. And I don't know what's happening here. I can't comprehend that the nation can be that ignorant and the people can be that complacent that they really think that this is going to work. I just don't get it. And I'm hoping to get Melody back on a second. Right now it's just me and you because Todd had to read the email, Melody, because she couldn't hear Todd or me. Again, it's Skype. You back?
Yes, I am.
All
for
right.
Now.
I was trying to talk to you, but you couldn't hear me.
Well, that's what I said. I said, I can't believe that Butch isn't chiming in.
I was. You know, I was just making comments on the $2 trillion Pelosi and Trump and Schumer want to spend on infrastructure and making a point. We don't have $2 trillion. They don't have $2. Then this nation is more than $22 trillion. It's close to $100 trillion that are more in real debt. And they're going to spend $2 trillion of what? Digits on computers? Fiat currency? and people can't see that this is going to collapse hugely in the very near future. Under the curse of God, nothing else, but it can't work. And now the quantity of easing, they're going to try to spin their way out of debt again. Melody, this is insane. And Trump is no different than Bush or Obama and the rest of them. He's doing the same cop-picking thing.
And they will continue to do the same because they're not in control. What is important is Wall Street. What is important are the stock markets. That's the economy, ladies and gentlemen. That's the millions of people who have savings, not savings account, but 401s, IRAs. Do you realize how quick you're going to turn on everyone when that collapses? They know that.
Yes, they do.
I'll guarantee you, they're scared of you. So they're going to keep this going for as long as they can. They're going to print, and they're going to do whatever is necessary until the cows come home.
Well, you know, that eventually when it does collapse, and I don't know. It will collapse, and I don't believe in setting dates. I can't. I've heard this for years and years, and it keeps, you know, it goes down, back up, down, back up, like the stock market does. But eventually when that does collapse, it's going to be the worst in the history of the world as far as the economy collapsing. I mean, we'll make Venezuela look like a picnic when America goes down. It's going
Absolutely.
To really hurt.
You know, Trump says, oh, China is, you know, doesn't have any inflation in there. Well, hello, at least their GDP is 6%. Ours is 3%. And everybody talks about the amount of debt that China has, and that's ready to implode. You know, we don't talk about the shadow banking that and China's a communist nation.
Yes, it is.
Do we forget about that, ladies and gentlemen?
That's never mentioned anymore. That's never mentioned about communism. It's not mentioned at all. I think because a lot of our politicians, they are communist.
They exported our inflation by allowing China to import all these cheap trinkets that we enjoy buying. It must make us feel good because we have to replace all those cheap trinkets every other month because they break.
Yep. That's true. Very true. And we say trinkets. That's appliances and everything, Melody. They make them, and I was told this by an appliance dealer, they make them to outlast your warranty. They're telling me this guy who works with appliances told me this, that his appliance salesman said they want them to wear out right after a warranty, so you buy another one. They're throwaway devices, basically.
They do that to computers.
Sure.
They do it to computers.
Of course they do.
They only allow your browser to work for so long, and then once it doesn't accept any of the updates, you got to go buy a new computer.
But it
is
amazing.
Isn't that convenient? But you know what? Does anybody squawk other than me?
Well, I do. That's two of us.
That's two of us.
But, I want to give you personally some good news, though, because I when I saw this, I thought, I got to tell Melody because this really thrilled her. Do you know that the mansions in the Hamptons and Manhattan and the West Coast cities are way down in price? Now's your chance to buy one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to be my neighbor?
Well, yeah, why not? You buy one, you can buy another one.
All right. And we should have enough room so Todd could put his RV on there, right?
There you go. But yeah, the Manhattan and Greenwich Village and the Hamptons and all along the West Coast, mansions are losing value and dropping in price because people can't afford them. Now, that should tell us something. Come
yeah,
on, people. That should tell us something.
Yeah, but they're really not dropping that much. I saw where San Francisco, you know, they were complaining because the housing in San Francisco was dropping the home prices. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, who wants to live in a town where you have to step over feces and step over needles afraid of getting,
I agree.
Diseases and so forth. So, yeah, that should make your housing numbers come down.
It's sad, you know. And this article I've got to share because it breaks my heart to read it. Remember week before last, I read about the Wisconsin dairy farmer and what was going on with him and his family?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this article really touched my heart. Wisconsin dairy farmers going bankrupt in record numbers. They blame Trump's tariffs. And I remember when he put the tariffs on, they were concerned about that. But it said a perfect storm hit Wisconsin dairy farms. Overproduction, bad decision, Trump's tariffs. A trio of major areas hit Wisconsin dairy farmers, as I just said, and Trump's tariff was the final straw that threw many Wisconsin farmers into bankruptcy. For decades, Denise and Tom Murray's rose at 5 a.m. and shuffled through the mud and snow to milk cows on the farm that had been in their family since 1939. this month after years of falling milk prices and mounting debt. Now, this is so sad, Melody. The Murrays sold their last milk cow, taking pictures while holding back the tears as the final one was loaded into a truck and taken away. It's awful hard to see them go out the last time, says Miss Mary, 53. It's scary because you don't know what your next paycheck's going to be. For the past 2 years, nearly 1,200 of the state's dairy farmers have stopped milking cows, and so far this year, another 212 disappeared, with many shifting production to beef or vegetables. The total number of herds in Wisconsin now are below 8,000, about half as many as 15 years ago. Melly, that's really sad. I mean, can you imagine you're down your last milk cow and you sell it, and now you don't know how you're going to pay the bills next time? After that, since 1939, they've been working together, and this business has been going. That's been 80 years ago. I mean, that would be sad, would it not? A way of life destroyed.
You know what? Yeah, it is. And it isn't just the tariffs. I mean, we've seen these multinational conglomerates come in here and buy up the farmings, and that's what it's all about. They just price everybody. It's no different than Walmart going in the community and these putting mom and pop shops out of business, and they go in and there and scoop up all the business. It's no different than Amazon coming in there putting shopping malls out of business, and they're coming in and they're scooping up all the jobs and all, and you know, so many people go out of business. But nobody really cares about that. Everybody just only cares about how
we don't need dairy farmers. We have Kroger's and Piggly Wiggly. Yeah. We don't need dairy farmers. I mean, we can go to a store and buy milk, right? We don't need dairy farmers.
Right. Well, we'll need dairy farmers.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of people do actually believe that. I'm serious. And and I know it's a sad thing to say, but some people are that stupid. They really think that we don't need farmers because we have Kroger's and Piggly Wiggly and Food Lion and all the other things. Farmers are just, out there because they're out there. I don't understand it, but it's really sad. That we become a nation that's so ignorant of the fact, the basics of tilling the soil and growing food, that we think it's unnecessary to have farmers to do this. There is going out of business. That's going to put the price of milk up. Conglomerates taking it over. When they control the whole dairy, when the conglomerates control it all, Melody, there'll be no competition.
And, we're talking about that. And, out of Chicago, there was an article about the farmers after the floods, that they're in a fragile place, and weeks after flooding drowned the livelihoods of families who farmed along the Missouri River for generations, rural advocates in the Midwest began gearing up for another crisis. Mental health, and well-being of farmers who were already struggling with year-long economic uncertainty. Groups in flood-affected states such as Nebraska said they're preparing to provide mental and emotional support to these devastated farmers. We'll talk about that here when we come back from this break. So please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. If you want to deal in $20 gold pieces, in state 62, $20 gold pieces, they're selling for $6 more than an American gold eagle. $1,350. These are mint state 62.
Wow.
$20 Liberty gold pieces. So come on. Jeez, Luigi, folks. I mean, these are a steal. You should be backing up your truck and loading up. I mean, premiums, 25-year lows. We're talking about debt that's beyond anybody's comprehension of what's going to happen when we finally default. And that's their reason for creating it and keeping it from defaulting. Because they don't know what's going to go on. They know there's going to be social unrest, and they know there's people that's going to be looking for who's responsible. So come on, 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You purchase two of them, and you'll get some free shipping. So give us a call, talk to Carla, and load up. Now's the time to do it. And I don't know. Somebody told me today that something's happening on May 3rd or something. And it's like, you know, that they're going to reset the dollar again on May 30th. And I'm thinking, ladies and gentlemen, we're in this period of time. Something could happen the moment while I'm speaking. Something could happen tomorrow. Something could happen next month, next year. But the point of it is, look at where we're at and what's going to fix it. Nothing is going to fix it. I don't care if you drain every alligator out of the swamp. We have a problem that can't be fixed. We have a debt that can't be paid. It's that simple. And, you know, we're seeing our country in a decline, $2 trillion for infrastructure. Do you think that's going to fix everything?
Of course
and,
not.
And, you know, who are the people that are going to benefit for $2 trillion? Yes, I believe this infrastructure, but you know what? Airports? Let the airlines fix the airports. Shouldn't it be on taxpayer dollars?
I agree. They're private entities. Let them fix themselves. Totally agree with that.
You know, totally good grief. Agree. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just not that. It's, you know, look during the Great Recession. Look how much money went to, I can't remember what the program was, where, you know, government money was going to areas to fix bridges and stuff. Oh, so
WPA.
We're going to have another one of those?
The WPA. Working People America, WPA.
And you know what they did? They basically went around, put a whole bunch of people to paint them. They didn't fix them. A family member of mine, he worked for the state, Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. He says, we ain't doing anything to these, but we're getting the money to.
Yep.
He says, basically, we're putting on a fresh coat of paint, maybe putting some fresh stripes down the road to make them look like, and we stand around.
They still do that a lot. And I heard a gentleman, an expert, so-called expert, talking the other night on a radio show about treasury bonds. And how Social Security is solid as it can be because they've invested in treasury bonds, which is an IOU type thing. But they said treasury bonds have never been defaulted on in the history of the country. Billy, can you believe this man actually thinks that treasury bonds are the answer and Social Security will never go broke because we invested in them? They have to raise rates a little bit later on, you know, taxes on Social Security. But the treasury bonds, he said, are solid. We never defaulted on them. Like it can never happen. Can you believe that they're saying such things?
He's probably selling them.
He could be. I have no idea. I didn't
He's
hear.
He's probably managing them.
I mean, in some way, some shape, or some form.
I mean, it's a piece of paper.
It's a piece of paper, for goodness sake.
Everybody thinks that the government will guarantee these bonds. What about corporate bonds? Do you see a guarantee? Do you think the corporations are gonna guarantee? There's no guarantee in anything.
No, there's not. There's not. Especially paper. It can't be done.
It cannot be done.
Your guarantee is as good as the paper.
Yes. So,
that's all there's to it.
You know, going into the break, we were talking about these floods and the mental health and the well-being of these farmers who are losing everything. These groups in these flood-affected states like Nebraska say they're preparing to provide the support to devastated farmers. The federal government has yet to begin implementing a farm and ranch stress assessment assistance network that was revised in the 2018 Farm Bill. Farmers have weathered years of slow decline. Advocates worry that could crumble under the sudden pressures created by this natural disaster. And we're in a fragile place because once you get through the flood itself and the adrenaline wears off, then the enormity of the flood and the consequences settle in. And that was said by the president of the Nebraska Farmers Union, John Henson. He says there's a huge emotional load if you're the one who loses a family business, especially if that business is how you define yourself as a person.
Amen.
So,
amen.
You know, they...
And let's face it, farming is not an easy occupation. It may be, we'll say, beautiful and healthy out in the park, in the fields, and that's all wonderful. If you love it, more power to you. But it's hard work, Melody.
And it's
24/7. It's not just five days a week.
Net farm income has fallen nearly 50% from its peak in 2013. How would you like, ladies and gentlemen, to lose 50% of your income since 2013? And you're right, it's a difficult job. A family member, he doesn't own the dairy farm, but he works the dairy farm. And in the middle of winter, when it's 6 below zero, and he's out there tending to the cows, the dairy cows, and you walk inside and you see ice in the beard, you see ice in the hair, it's not a fun job, especially for an older person. Very difficult.
You're talking about
very
me,
difficult.
Aren't you?
You're difficult, but
I... Well, you know, people maybe already see this, but they said Americans brace for shock surge in everyday food prices. You probably saw this. But American food merchants are struggling to import fruits and vegetables from Mexico because of the slowdown in the product coming in because of the border patrols have been sliced to put them to try to stop illegal aliens. But they said food prices on vegetables like cucumbers and eggplants and bell peppers and squash and cherry tomatoes and more can go up as much as 40% in the store in the very near future. 40% increase on food prices, Melody, is going to hit a lot of people right where it hurts.
It will.
That's a habit we've all developed at early ages, eating, and we can't break that very well.
I don't know how that can happen, Butch. We have no inflation in this country.
I know that, and of course, with quantity of easing coming up, we're going to have major pretty soon.
You know, if we don't have inflation in this country, that means that the middleman, these grocery stores, are nothing but crooks. That means
that's
they're charging
true.
Higher prices. They're corrupt. They're just as corrupt as the people in D.C.
I agree. That's what they're saying. If there's no inflation, then every day I go to the store, every time my wife goes to the store, Marcia goes to the store, and I go with her, I see prices raising a point. I say, don't buy it. She does anyway. But I say, don't buy it. I wouldn't pay that for it. Somebody's cheating me then, aren't they?
Yep. If there's no inflation. So somewhere along the line, and we just saw how the farming industry has lost 50% of its income since 2013. But our economy is supposed to be better since 2013.
Well, that's what they're saying. You know, and I'll make this point, too. Because right now, I'm going to find the article real quickly here that I want to share with you. Study shows that homelessness is up across the country. So it's a record high in New York City. They did it was found in February 2018, an average of 63,615 men, women, and children slept in New York City shelters each night. It's just shy of an all-time record, they said in January. So you can probably will be higher before then, the February, which is past already. But if jobs are coming on so strongly, and we have the lowest unemployment rate in the world, and I realize some homeless people are homeless because they won't be homeless, or they don't care, or they have other problems. But some of these people want to work, Melody. If we had the lowest unemployment rate in years, why can't they find some kind of job that can sustain them and take them off the streets and put them in a home somewhere, an apartment or whatever?
You can also thank technology. Because I don't know, I'm sure it's not the case for everything, but you would think that, you know, those that are homeless, you know, they can't do the high-tech jobs. You know, maybe they were working in a restaurant or like Panera Bread or someplace, but now they were replaced. Or maybe they could work an assembly line or something like that. Or maybe they could have even worked on a farm. But when you have a 50% drop in income, you can't be hiring as many people as you. You're going to have to start cutting hours, and then those people are going to have issues. So,
the problem is that they said the unemployment is way low. It's way down. So apparently it's a lot of people working somewhere. You know, I don't understand. I'm not a very intelligent person. I realize that, but I don't get that can correlate with people that want to work can't find something to do.
Well, lots of times people, and I'm not making excuses, and I'm not being down or hard on them and so forth. But you know, once you start collecting some sort of benefit and wages don't pay, it doesn't pay them to go to work. They can make more money staying off work, and that's part of the problem of our government.
All the
social programs that they've created. They encourage people not to work.
I totally agree with that. I do, but I just wonder about the ones living in the streets. Unless I'm getting too much income, they won't be on the street. So I don't know. It's really
amazing.
Well,
you know, you look, there's no affordable housing. We might see housing prices come down, but who can, you know, the average one-bedroom apartment, I don't care where you're living, is probably, what, $500-$800?
I wouldn't doubt that. Wouldn't doubt it. And that's more than most people. That's half some most people's income in a month. You realize that?
And then let's add a little bit of health care onto that. Health care alone will put people in the streets because of the cost is so much. I'm sorry, Butch. There's no inflation.
Of course not. I mean, that's exactly why I have more money every year, because the inflation, the actual price has gone down. I have more money coming in now than I did 20 years ago, Melody. I'm really wealthy now, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It takes people, they talk about the average retirement. Over $1 million you need.
Yes. Yes. And $1 million when you and I were growing up was a fortune. And today,
oh,
and it's still a lot of money to us, but to a lot of people, if you have to have that much to retire, you would just say you live 20, 25 years after you retire, that's a long time after you retire. That's a lot of money to go through in that amount of time.
Yes.
But that's counting, I'm sure, all kinds of things, including health care and everything else.
So, yeah, it's very difficult to make decisions. And I understand the allure of the stock market, even though people don't understand that it's paper and it's ready to crash and so forth. I get that. You know, they are in their 401s, and they are beginning to understand that they need stock market can't collapse. But what is it going to buy you? I'm not going to buy you much.
Well, what's a dollar going to buy you whenever it finally comes to the fact that people realize it's worth nothing? What's it going to buy you? You walk in this, and I've said this 100 times in your program, probably that many times in other places, that every time you walk into a Go-Mart or a gas station or a grocery store and you pass off a piece of paper for some tangible products, you just stole money. You just stole the people. Now, I realize they think it's okay, they'll pass it on. That's how fiat currency works, until the people realize it's fiat currency. Then you face something that Venezuela and other nations have faced. It collapses. And, of course, you know in Venezuela that Cotero, or what his name is, Guaido, whatever it is, tried to, I guess, put a coup on, and he had the army gathered around him. It says protesters are run over by Maduro's army vehicles as gunfire breaks out, sending civilians running for cover after Juan Guaido calls for military uprising, sparking clashes with pro-regime troops. So, you know, this guy's starting to call the military, and of course the U.S. backs him, and of course Russia backs Maduro, and this is getting nasty. And all started because of the collapse of the money system in Venezuela. People can't afford things, so they got very angry, and of course thousands and thousands of them left, but a lot of them are still there, and they're trying to live on nothing. So it's coming to a head, Melody. And what better way to topple a government, and America wouldn't do that, of course, than to destroy their economy?
You know, their stock markets are doing good. But yeah, what does it get you? But what does it get you? And it's exactly what we see with our stock. Well, yeah, we're having record high markets, but what's it getting you?
Well, again, we've had too good for too long as a nation. And when our turn comes, it's going to be unbelievable. Because if we see rioting in Venezuela, and they never had the standard of living we've had in America, what's going to be whenever people's their welfare checks are cut off and their food stamps cut off? They live in cities where they can do nothing to earn or to make it to grow any food or take care of themselves. What's going to happen to the people, Melody, in those cities and actually nationwide, especially in cities, when they can't afford to pay the power bill? And I mean, the cell phone doesn't work. And what's going to happen?
It's
that's a serious thing to think about. It's kind of scary, to tell you the truth.
It is.
I mean, the people right now over who knows what. What are they going to do whenever they can't eat?
They will find out.
Yes, exactly. You know, and I guess in some places, like I guess you already know this, Walmart and Amazon are at war again over one-day shipping. Amazon said they're going to spend $800 million to bring it forth and do one-day shipping, and Walmart might just right away and say, we're going to do the same thing. One-day shipping is quite an accomplishment, is it not?
Yes, it is.
I don't know how that's going to work, but this, according to these two retail giants, they're going to come out and say they're going to do one-day shipping so they can compete with one another. I may just see how that's going to work. How are you going to ship product from New York, say, to Louisiana in one day?
Well, I mean, there is overnight shipping.
I know that, but think about the cost of that. And Walmart said that you don't be a member of anything to get it. Amazon, you got to be a prime customer to get it. But that still is not adding anything extra to it, as far as I can see, as far as price goes shipping. They're going to have to absorb a lot of money for that kind of service. They're going to have to really spend a lot of money to get it covered.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I'm asking questions here that probably they have answers to, but it boggles my mind that they can do this and say they could guarantee shipping overnight from New York to Louisiana or West Virginia even, and with the product that you ordered noon today and it'll be here tomorrow. That's phenomenal to me.
Well, if there isn't a charge and if it's done free, then they'll just make it up in the cost of the product, that's all.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
You know,
but think of the logistics of that.
What they do is they don't ship themselves. They use the UPS. They use the postal system.
I know that, but
and
again,
it puts strain on them, and that means your postal stamps are going to go higher. Someone's going to pay for it. Anyway, we're heading into break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I just want to bring this up. You know, I talk about Yemen a lot, probably not as much as I should, but very few people do talk about it. And the Senate this week is planning to process President Trump's veto of the War Powers Act challenge to the Yemen war. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo took the reins to try to defend the U.S. involvement in Yemen as in America's best interest. So Pompeo's argued had centered on the idea that the U.S. was obliged to help the Saudis defend itself. And, you know, on top of that poor argument for an obligation, Pompeo relied on what the administration seems to believe is the most compelling argument, even if it is wholly based on a lie. He argued that the whole war was Iran's fault, and not intervening would make Iran happy. So this was the argument Saudi successfully used to sucker the U.S. into this war. And Iran never had more than tentative links to the Shiite Houthi movement, and that they're not even the same type of Shiites that was lost on the administration, and Pompeo seems to hope it will all be lost on the Senate. So, I mean, it's just like, you know, no one talks about this war. No one talks about the money that is going to help the Saudis. And no one talks about the people starving, the humanitarian situation that's been happening for years. It's none of our business. The Saudis, I think the Saudis have enough money, they should be able to fight their own war.
I agree.
You know what? Yeah, you look at the relationship between the White House, the petrodollar. You know, who's wagging whose tail here?
Totally agree. But you know, you don't hear too much about any war now. Afghanistan, we've been there for how many years now? Of course, there's money coming out. They're making money on the opium out there. But how many times do you hear about any war anymore, Bill? Really and seriously. I mean, you don't hear about wars anywhere. They seem like they just kind of sweep them under the rug.
No, especially Syria. Ever since we were going to pull out all our troops, and then all of a sudden everybody says no, so let's just drop it from the news. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, it isn't any different, even the media. If the media was so down on Trump, don't you think they would be bringing these stories other than the Mueller report? These other stories would have far more negative impact on President Trump than the Mueller report.
Yep, that's what we're seeing. And I don't know, but you know, you mentioned oil, and you know that China and India are going together to start their own cartel and buying oil for their countries. How is that going to affect us? As a matter of fact,
and who do you think they're going to buy it from? They already buy it from Iran.
Yep. I mean, what can you say? They say they're going to buy some from the U.S. too, but I'll wait and see about that. But I know that this will make they use more oil than the other nations in the world. So why wouldn't they be able to buy it from even Venezuela, where you have sanctions on? But they don't care about sanctions, obviously, and I don't blame them for that. So what would that mean to us? You know, I mean, Saudi will lose a lot of influence, obviously, because they'll no longer be the major suppliers for these nations. So we'll see. I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, I don't know how much that they supply them anyway, because I know that, you know, Iran does supply a lot of oil, and Russia to China and India. So I don't know how much it would impact the Saudis. I'd have to look up to see how the oil is divided up and where they do the major buying from. But
go ahead.
But I believe it's still being sold, because it all has to go through the exchange, for lack of a better term for it right now, that has to be sold in petrodollars, unless, as you said, they open up their exchange and they can choose their own. currency.
Well, you know, the U.S. is no longer the major trading force in the world. You know that. That's been going for us quite a while. We have an impact, I'm sure. But we're no longer the power we once were when it comes to buying and selling in this world. Other nations have caught us and passed us, like India and China, as far as spending money for imports. So America doesn't have the clout it used to have 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
We don't make anything.
No, we don't.
We don't make anything anymore.
Debt. We make debt.
We make great debt.
Yeah,
and you know
exactly.
What, Butch? You know what, Butch? I don't want the listeners to think that I'm just negative on Trump all the time. It's not that. It's the picture. It's the whole picture. And if you just focus on one element, you lose focus on everything else. So it's not about focusing on one person. It's focusing on the whole picture. And by focusing on that whole picture helps us to see what really is going on. And it really is pretty much the same.
It is. It truly is. And I had hopes. I had big hopes. Although I did not vote for Trump. I voted independent. Big hopes that maybe things would get better. And I'm not saying some things have in some areas. But overall, it's the same. It's the same horse, just different color. You know, that's all I've seen any difference in. So I don't know, Melvin. You got what, another year and a half in office? If he wins again, you got another, you know, 5.5 years. We will see. I don't know, but I do know that Trump is soon the door spank in Capital One to keep them from turning their financial records over for him and Donald Jr. and Eric and Ivanka. My only question is, why is he fighting this? If he, I'm not saying it's anybody's business, even the government's business, what kind of money he makes or what he does with it. But why is he fighting so hard? Is it something to hide, or are you just doing it for principle's sake?
Well, you know, to some degree, I understand it's nobody's business. However, I think President Trump made it everybody's business by even on the campaign. Well, I'd be happy to show my
sure.
taxes if it wasn't under audit. Well, okay. If you said it then, what difference is it now? And do I think he's hiding anything? Probably not. You know, and it could be, so what? So, you know, he probably isn't doing anything different on his taxes than everybody else, you know, that has that type of money. So, you know.
Wouldn't it help him to just turn over and get that in the open so everybody see there's nothing going on and they move on to something else? Wouldn't that be his benefit?
Yeah, but you know what? You get it in the position of power, and you know what? You're going to say, hey, he can fight this on the U.S. tax pay. I don't know who's paying his attorney fees and so forth. So, you know, he's going to fight it just as being president of the United States. But, you know, I don't know what Deutsche Bank will do. They said that he inflated his net worth in order to secure loans from Deutsche Bank. And I actually read an article once on how his relationship with Deutsche Bank actually came about. Supposedly, there was one woman in particular that, you know, was able to get him the loans that other banks wouldn't provide. Or, you know, is one of the few major banks that would continue to lend to him after all the bankruptcies of his casinos and other businesses in the 90s. So, you know, and again, is this all true? Well, you know, even if it's half true, it's not good.
No, it's not.
You know, it's not good. And, you know, it's one thing to buy a company that's already bankrupt and you put money in it to turn it around and bring it back and then to sell it. It's something else when you buy a business and run it into bankruptcy. Two totally different things.
Yes, it is.
So, anyway.
Well, and one different topic that is, I think, concerns me quite a bit. I'm sure it does you too, best listening. New York has actually started ticketing people for defying getting the measles vaccine. 12 so far. It doesn't sound like a lot. But it's 12 people that they will not comply with the mandatory vaccination. They don't believe in them. They don't want them. And they can be fined $1,000 a day if they don't turn in right away. They'll make $1,000 for the first time. And who knows after that what's going to happen. Millie, this is forced vaccination. This is forced vaccination. How, in this country of the land of the free and the home of the brave, does any government, especially New York City, get by with forcing people to take vaccines they don't want and don't believe in?
Because they're all a bunch of sheeple. And I'll tell you what, it was interesting. I saw an interview this morning of some doctor, I don't know who he was from, the CDC or whatever, I don't know. And they asked a question, why? Why are we having this outbreak of measles at this point in time? He says, well, you know, he says, we have a lot of people coming in from Europe. We have a lot of people coming in from here, a lot of people coming in from there, and that's the major culprit. He says, and then, you know, people that haven't been vaccinated here, and then he switched it real quick to, oh, it's all the anti-vacciners' fault.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking
yeah.
to myself, how many anti-vacciners are there?
I agree.
I guarantee you there aren't that many.
No, there isn't. There is not.
You know, you could probably look up that those who homeschool their children are probably equal to the anti-vacciners.
Well, isn't this the epitome of a police state to force someone
certainly
to
is.
Put something in the bottle, in their body that they don't want, don't believe in? Isn't that the epitome of a police state?
Yes, it is.
So where's the outcry? Where's the news media saying, you know, this is being forced on them? I know where they're at. They're backing it. They want it.
Yep.
They truly do. And again, I say this, measles is no big deal. That was a rite of passage when I was growing up. It's not a big deal.
Well, it could be a big deal for some people, but I'll tell you what.
Very few, though. I mean, compared to...
But I'll tell you what, look at the pharmaceutical business and look at look what it does to people, and yet they make billions of dollars on it.
Well, and I look this online, I got to find it again, but more people die from the vaccination than they have from measles, Melody. Think about that. You can find that online. I don't remember where I found that. I got to find that again. The more people have gotten sick and got the measles vaccinations and died from vaccination, then died from measles themselves. A death from measles is very rare. And measles was a somewhat mild disease that helped your immune system grow, so when you got older, it would fight more diseases. When you take away the body's natural defense, you destroy the body's defense against anything.
Well, absolutely.
So, obviously, then they know this. But you're talking about people coming in from all over the world. Do you know that Pope Francis is now funding migrants coming into Mexico?
Yeah.
So they can take care of them until they come to the U.S.?
I think the Catholic Church has been doing it for a very long
time. They have been. The Catholic Church has been flying people in this country for years.
Yep.
And the Catholic Church has been, people don't want to hear this, I can prove it on one side, I've been big time in human trafficking, including sex trafficking, for a long time. And they're not the only ones. The Mormons have been, too. But the point of it is, Francis is directly sending money to help the migrants stay in Mexico until they get a chance to come in the United States. That is unbelievable. And what's going on at the border? When's the last time we heard Trump say, I'm going to stop this? And they're coming in every day by record numbers. What happened to his strong stand? And now we have Ocasio Cortez saying she didn't care whether they were legal or illegal. She wants them all here. That's what she said. She called them documented and undocumented, same thing, legal and illegal. But she doesn't care. You know, I mean, what is this? I would like to see Trump keep one promise and stop these illegals. But whatever means necessary, our nation can absorb them. Like, we just can't take anymore. And if we're getting diseases from them, and we have gangs from them coming in by the bunches and murdering and raping and pillaging people, when are we going to say enough is enough? No matter what Congress says, the president can say something. He's commander in chief. He can do something if he wants to.
I don't know. It's you're right. And I don't know. If you look back and you look at how this all unfolded, and you look at I think we're turning the corner from an immigration crisis to a different type of a crisis. And I think that's what we're going to be seeing, is a different type of a crisis. And it's, are these signs? I don't know. And, I said, wait until the new Mideast peace agreement is released after Ramadan.
Yeah,
Lord
exactly.
knows what's going to happen after that. If anything, I mean, they've been plenty of attempts for Middle East peace, and we all have seen how that's worked out in the past. Don't know why this one would be any different, except of the players. So,
I watch all this stuff unfold, and believe me, Melody, I'm just like everybody else. I'm just a man. I don't understand everything, but being someone, I think, a Bible scholar, and I do study history. I do watch current events. I think I have some pretty good opinions on this. This is just a way to undermine a society, a culture that one time was powerful, a nation one time was somewhat peaceful and prosperous. And they've undermined it to the point now that our nation is divided in factions. And we have what they call white supremacists. I guess, what did they call them here in this article? The white nationalists now targeting bookstores and protesting bookstores for different things they have there. I mean, we're being divided into factions, and it's getting worse every day, and it's getting more violent every day. That's not a good sign.
No, it isn't. And look what type of stress is on this country right now.
Oh, yes.
Probably
absolutely.
Very little. I mean, considering where it's headed. So if we're having this now, what's it going to be?
I agree.
When we are in a true crisis, not in just one section of the country, but across the country.
We're already in civil war.
This will be far different than the Great Recession of 2008.
There'll be no peaceful resolution this time, you know, and even a bad one. But, you know, we are in civil war, not yet to blows, thank God, but it's coming to that. We're already in civil war. Our culture's under attack, and we're losing it quickly.
And we're already out of time. So I want to thank you for joining me. It was a good show. Thank you. Great discussions, Butch. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back, or I'll be back tomorrow with Dave Allen and Wendy Wilson. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.